So we meet today on this Sunday in an anxious world. The last couple of weeks we have seen again the scourge of terror in Egypt, in Beirut, Paris, Brussels, Mali. In the middle of all this, we in this country are in the midst of a less than edifying election season, where some of our political leaders want to scapegoat the most vulnerable, the immigrant and refugee, and demonize our Muslim brothers and sisters. So you and I, we desperately need this feast today, the feast of Christ the King. We need to be reminded of the kingship of Christ. We need to be reminded that greater than both the noble aspirations of our leaders and greater than the treacherous machinations of earthly rulers, Christ is indeed our King. Christ has claimed us as his servants, all of us. The gospel today illustrates two opposing views of what leadership is all about. In the confrontation between two kings, Jesus and Pilate, whose types vie for our allegiance today. For Pilate and for many of the Jews living in Jesus' time awaiting a Messiah, kingship was about displays of great power, the allure of fame and of riches, earthly glory of all different kinds. And that ultimately was the charge leveled against Jesus, nailed with him on the cross. Above his crucified head, the message wrote, King of the Jews. But you see, they had the wrong king. Christ is indeed our king, but not the one Pilate or others, or maybe sometimes we want. He is a leader, surely, but he is a servant leader. His instruments of power are not a scepter or sword, but a towel and a wash basin used to wash the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. He comes to serve, not to be served. He is a lamb, not a lion, refusing to return violence with violence. He is not about conquest or control, but as we heard in the second reading, about liberation, of freedom. Freeing people from illness and isolation, all their interior baggage, freedom from separation from God and community. And finally, Jesus, our King, is self-forgetting, not self-aggrandizing. He points always not to himself, but to his Father, our Father, and to those on the margins of power and of privilege. His power comes from the truth that he speaks and lives and dies for. The truth is what he calls the kingdom or the reign of God. And this kingdom or reign of God is hard to define exactly. It is used throughout the scriptures. One way of thinking about it is the kingdom or reign of God is God's dream for the world. It would be what the world would look like if we all followed God's rule, which is a rule of love and justice and peace. Or as Jesus distilled it, we simply love God and one another in this kingdom. So the first two readings today from Daniel and Revelation tell us that God will bring about this reign in time. This reign of justice, peace, and love. Yet we are anxious, aren't we, for that time to arrive. A part of me, frankly, after these couple of weeks, wishes for the other kind of king. The one who will sweep in here and punish the wicked and vindicate the good. Enough of the waiting. Enough of the slow road of conversion that comes through loving sacrifice. Let's get on with it, I sometimes say to myself. But the kingdom or reign of God is God's reign, not ours. Maybe the case that God takes his time in this reign to make God's dream for the world a reality, because God waits on us. God invites us, his fellow servants, to help build the reign. Jesus empowered his disciples, and after washing his feet, he says, "Now do the same." He tells us the same thing. Do the same. The Spirit of Jesus empowers us to participate in the reign of God to make this dream for the world a reality. And it may just take some time because of that. It's a power founded in service, an awesome power, in self-forgetting, in sacrificial kind of loving. It may be slow work by our standards, but it is the recipe for lasting peace and justice. What does this love look like? I mean, you can look around in your lives every day for those ordinary ways that we build a kingdom together, you and I. But let me just share with you some words made very dramatic and shared widely the last week or so. Let me tell you what the kingdom of God sounds like and looks like. Antoine Larry lost his wife Helene in the attack on the Bataclan Theater in Paris last week. She was one of 129 or more people killed in Paris on that terrible night. And on a Facebook post, a message he sent to anyone who would listen, he posted the following words, which I want to share with you in their entirety. This is what the kingdom of God sounds like. This is Antoine Larry. On Friday night, you stole away the life of an exceptional being, the love of my life, the mother of my son. But you will not have my hatred, he wrote to his persecutors. He continues, I do not know who you are, and I do not want to know, for you are dead souls. If the God for whom you kill so blindly made us in his image, each bullet in my wife's body would have been a wound in his heart. Therefore, I will not give you the gift of hating. You have obviously sought it, but responding to it with anger would be to give in to the same ignorance that has made you what you are. You want me to be afraid, to cast a mistrustful eye on my fellow citizens, to sacrifice my freedom for security. You lost. I saw her this morning, finally, after nights and days of waiting. She was just as beautiful as she was when she left home Friday evening, as beautiful as when I fell madly in love with her more than 12 years ago. Of course, I'm devastated with grief. I will give you that tiny victory, but this will be a short-term grief. I know that she will join us every day and that we will find each other again in the paradise of free souls. We are only two, my son and I, but we are more powerful than all the world's armies. In any case, I have no more time to waste on you. I need to get back to Melville, who is waking up from his afternoon nap. He is just 17 months old. He will eat this night like every day, and then we are going to play like we do every day, in every day of his life. This little boy will insult you with his happiness and his freedom, because you will not have his hatred either. In such heroic words and deeds, we hear and see what the kingdom of God is about. Now it is time for you and I to find our own words and deeds to realize that kingdom.